Welcome to The Extra, the show that really brings this community together by talking to the people, issues, and topics that are important to us. And one topic that we want to tackle is something that, unless you have thought about it or unless you have had someone that has gone through it, maybe you don't think about it as much. But we're talking about adoption and foster care. And November is National Adoption Month, a time to really up the awareness of adoption, bring attention to the need for adoptive families, for teens in the foster care system, and emphasize the value of youth engagement. And joining us this morning to talk about this month-long observance of foster care statistics and resources in our county, El Paso County, we're so pleased to have with us Sarah Bailey, who's Recruitment and Retention Specialist at the agency Kids Crossing. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Shannon. Thank you for having me.
Glad you could be with us. And we also are pleased to have with us Dr. Jason Lester, Deputy Director of Children, Youth, and Family Services in the El Paso County Department of Human Services. Dr. Lester, thank you for joining us on The Extra.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Lester, if you don't mind sticking around, we're going to start our questioning with Sarah. And Sarah, why don't you tell us a little bit about Kids Crossing?
Yeah, of course. So Kids Crossing is a child placement agency. We were founded 30 years ago by foster parents. They wanted to start our agency to be able to provide support to other families and really focus on getting the children in their home and those families the resources and support that they needed.
Is there a shortage of foster care families and adoptive families here in our region?
Absolutely. There's a huge shortage of families, foster and foster to adopt, that are willing to work with teenagers, large sibling groups. And sometimes I say large sibling groups, and I even mean siblings of two or three. There's a huge need for that.
We know that Kids Crossing works first to preserve the family, and family preservation is a concept that those who have gone through this system probably are aware of. What kinds of programs do you offer that support family preservation?
Yeah, so the goal of foster care is always reunification first. And our families and our agency really try to make that happen any way possible. So we have what's called family preservation, and it's a service where a worker goes into the home and works with the bio parents as well as the child that is in foster care, so that they are learning new parenting techniques and they are helping work through the trauma that child has. And they're really trying to get that parent the help that they need to be able to get that child back into their home. We also have TBRI practitioners, so trust-based relational intervention. It's a parenting model for kids that have gone through trauma. And those practitioners also work with the bio parents. So giving them new parenting techniques to help meet their kids where they are, as well as we provide trainings to not only our foster parents, but to the bio parents of the kids in our home.
And in the meantime, the children who are in this sort of situation will likely be with a foster parent. Who makes up the ideal foster parent?
That is such a hard question, because we have such a wide, diverse group of families. We have seen it all work, right? We work with single foster parents. We work with foster parents where one of the spouses works and one stays home. We work with foster parents where both work. The main thing that all our families have in common is that they're able to open a safe and loving, nurturing home to a child for the amount of time that child needs. And realizing that it isn't always a forever situation, and that the goal is for them to go home and just to, again, provide them that safe space to heal until they can get home.
What do you hear from families who work with regarding what they see as the benefits of being a foster parent or an adoptive family?
Oh, there's so many stories and reasons that our families do this. And honestly, it is a roller coaster, right? There's the sad, there's the very extreme happy moments. I was just talking to a family the other day, and they were talking about their child that's in their home that they adopted at the age of 9 a year and a half ago. And when that child came into their home, she was 3 grades behind academically, and she was had to go to the resource room every day. So she could not, because of the trauma that she had and the behavior she was having, she could not stay in a normal classroom for the entire day. She ended up in the resource room once or twice a day. And she is now working above grade level, and she is able to stay in her classroom all day long. Even when she is having a moment and is struggling with something, she's able to regulate in the classroom and continue on with her day. And they were expressing what joy that is to see that and to see what, how far she's come. I have a foster family that's working with a sibling group of three teenage girls, which brings all kinds of fun to that.
Sure, yes.
And one of those girls has significant medical issues, and she is, when she came into the home, she was having to use a scooter to get around, and she wasn't able to walk for an extended period of time or put her foot fully on the ground and walk flat-footed. And she is able to do that. She's had surgeries necessary to be able to do that, and she is starting college in the spring, where she's actually attending college classes at Pikes Peak, which is huge. She's been doing college classes online because of that, of having to get from place to place, and she's at a point where she can actually go. And she's working with the bio family, and they're visiting and rekindling that relationship, and she's just made huge progress in that home.
Well, you certainly applaud that, and the strength of those foster parents who get involved and really are putting their care for kids first and foremost. Where can listeners go for more information to find out if they have what it takes to be a foster parent?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to our website, which is www.kidscrossing.com. They can get more information as well as my contact information to reach out and call me. I'd love to have a conversation if you're interested or have any questions.
Okay, and for those listeners who say, okay, she said I could call. What's her name again? Sarah Bailey is her name. Sarah Bailey, Recruitment and Retention Specialist at Kids Crossing. Again, kidscrossing.com is the website. We'll be talking to Sarah a little later on as well. But let's transition. We need to take a short break here, get our commercial sponsors on. But when we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Jason Lester, who's with the El Paso County Department of Human Services, and we'll be talking about some of the stats and what they show for teens needing placement in the foster care system, as well as adoptions here in El Paso County. That and more coming your way. Keep on listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, and our focus today, National Adoption Month, the month of November, a time to increase awareness of adoption, bring attention to the foster care system, and a system that is really focused on, first and foremost, family preservation, but after that, really making sure that kids are able to thrive and heal in their foster placement situation. We're pleased to have with us Dr. Jason Lester, who's Deputy Director of Children and Youth Family Services in the El Paso County Department of Human Services. Dr. Lester, why don't you first share information with our listeners about the role that the Youth and Family Services has in our county? What does the department do?
Well, first, again, thanks for having me here, and happy National Adoption Month. And, you know, with regard to what the department does, you know, The Division of Children, Youth, and Family Services here in El Paso County, we have primary things that we're focusing on. We must have safety, permanency, and well-being for all children in El Paso County. The most important aspect of this is safety. So first and foremost, children must be protected from abuse and neglect. You know, no child should be abused and or neglected, especially here in El Paso County. And, you know, second with that is permanency. All children and youth need a place to call home, sort of similar to what Shannon was saying, what the previous person was saying, is that all children need a place to call home. And, you know, just a stable living arrangement, you know, that features connections and family relations, most importantly. And, you know, per federal guidelines, we have to have children and youth in a permanent home 1 year after their removal. So it's key that we focus on permanency from day one. And then third, you know, we want to ensure that our children and youth have well-being. We want families to have the enhanced capacity to provide for children and youth needs. These needs range, you know, sometimes they're educational needs, sometimes they're mental health needs, or sometimes they're physical needs, or whatever type of needs it is that our children and youth need, we want to ensure that they are getting the support.
Right, right. Complimenting what Sarah Bailey was just saying, too. So, Dr. Lester, how many kids are looking for adoptive families just here in our county?
Well, great question. And right now, there are 44 children and youth needing adoption right now in El Paso County. And just a plug for our website, elpasoco.com, we have pictures, we have bios of our children that are currently needing a forever home. So you can visit that website to see the 44 children and youth that are waiting for that place to call home.
Oh, that just tugs at your heartstrings to think, you know, nearly four dozen children in our community whose home circumstances have been so dramatically altered and disrupted that they need stability. They need a place to heal. They need a place to have shelter from any trauma. And so with all those kids needing adoption, with that strong need, of course, for placements with foster families and with adoptive families, why do you think there is such a strong demand? Is this being driven maybe by the pandemic, by the economy? What do you think?
I just think that what we're trying to do is try to adjust back to what normal is. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, we've always needed people to stand up. And, you know, what's most impressive with our citizens in El Paso County is just the love that they have in their heart and how supportive they've been down through the years. And I just think that now we're in this precarious situation where we have 44 children and youth waiting is because, you know, people, you know, are just trying to get out of the rough patch that they may have been experiencing. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, they probably were unable to focus on their kids' needs. And, you know, we have federal mandates that we must meet. But besides federal mandates, every kid deserves to have permanency. And, you know, we have a schedule to keep. And, you know, the citizens of El Paso County and surrounding areas have been so supportive of us. And Kids Crossing is a great partner with us. And, you know, we would not be able to do the work that we do without the support of the community.
Yeah, it takes a village, truly. How does El Paso County support kids and families through the adoption process?
Well, you know, what we wanted to do was redefine our matching process. And by matching process, what I mean is that it's not just us finding a kid to go into a family. It's also trying to find a family that matches well with the kid and the children and the youth. So we've really redefined our matching process. And how we do that is we basically assess the needs of the family, and simultaneously we assess the needs of the children. And that's allowed for us to create a good faith effort to ensure that our children and youth have what they need with regard to safety, permanency, and well-being. And I guess, you know, in addition to, like, the support with regard to the adoption process, you know, our kids have Medicaid. And, you know, we partner well with Raise the Future. It's a great nonprofit that provides post-permanency support for adoptive parents. And, you know, through it all, what we've been able to see is that, you know, these adoptions that we've had, you know, they last. They're built to last because we've put so much upfront with regard to our matching process. And it's just been refreshing to see.
Is there training and certification involved? And what types of families do you think make ideal adoptive families?
Well, you know, with regard to what types of family makes the best ideal family, honestly, one has to have a heartbeat. One has to truly have that heart where they are going to stick with a child. What we're looking for is no matter what people, meaning that they are accepting the children and youth that are coming into their home, and that they're going to stick with them through thick and thin, and that they're just going to, you know, say, regardless of whatever happens, I am here to see that you have a place to call home. And it's been beautiful to watch. So the ideal adoptive family, you know, we want people from all backgrounds, and I'm sure Kids Crossing can agree. We want parents from all backgrounds to meet the needs of our kids that need permanency. And then that second question you asked about training and certification. So, you know, of course, if one is being certified through the department, they have to get 27 hours of training. And that's basically just to kind of give a prelude to what it is that they may experience. But in addition to the 27 hours of training, basically, you know, we here in El Paso County, we believe in, you know, having a more tailored approach. And if the child, for instance, if a child has specific needs, we want to use our network of our treatment network of great people, and we want to give that family, you know, additional support and training to better understand the needs of the child. And we want to, you know, basically have our treatment network create the very best opportunity for adoptive parent-child interaction. So, you know, we really do cherish our adoptive families, and we want to make sure that they receive the support that they need. And we encourage them to reach out to us regularly and, you know, share how is it going and what type of support they need. And then it's on us to ensure that we are able to lead them to the treatment and support that they are requesting.
Right, right. You got to have that that leg of the stool there to make sure that they don't topple without having that proper support. Sometimes even the strongest parents or families might feel a little bit unwieldy. ElPasoCo.com is the website to find out more from Dr. Lester's department. When we come back, we have to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll be talking more with these two, Sarah Bailey and Dr. Jason Lester, about National Adoption Month. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Today we are focusing on November being National Adoption Month. And certainly when it comes to adoptions and foster care placement, Sarah Bailey, who's with Kids Crossing, is an expert at this topic. She's the recruitment and retention specialist, bringing in families and parents and adults who are creating those ideal foster families. Sarah, what kinds of certifications and training are needed to be a foster family? We heard a bit from Dr. Lester about this topic, but why don't you delve into it more in depth?
Yeah, so our licensing process at Kids Crossing includes an application, background checks, physicals, trainings. You have to do about 18 hours of pre-licensing training and then 35 hours within your first year of licensure. Some of that training includes taking the trust-based relational intervention overview training to, again, learn more parenting techniques to help parent a child that's gone through trauma. And then we do what's called a home study. Home study is 3 to 5 home visits where we get to know you and your family really well. We talk about everything that has to do with your life, and then we write a report. So that's kind of the licensing process in a nutshell.
And I know you said recommendations. I mean, on my resume, there are recommendations. I don't think any of my resume recommenders as resources have ever been references. That's the word, have ever been contacted. But these are different sorts of recommendations, I'm guessing, because when you're talking about being entrusted with a child, that's very important.
Oh, absolutely. And our references, we do reach out and we have conversations, and they, you'd be surprised, because people know that it's placing a child into their home, right? And it involves the safety of a child. So we talk at length with references. We talk potentially to employers. We talk to schools. If you have children of your own and they're going to school, we do a pretty deep dive into your life to make sure, again, that it's a safe and healthy home.
Sure, sure. Now, foster families, are they compensated?
So, yeah, they do get a reimbursement rate for the child that they have in their home. And that reimbursement rate is to go towards providing for that child. So it helps with clothing. It helps with, you know, getting them the extra help with school, because all of our kids are behind in school, so they need tutoring to help get caught up. It helps with anything that that child needs. And it's a different rate depending on the age of the child and the needs of that child.
And there are some couples and perhaps even singletons who maybe come to your agency and for whatever reason in their personal lives, they are really intent on wanting to adopt first. Do you recommend fostering before adoption?
So Kids Crossing is not a private adoption agency. So through us, you do have to foster before you can adopt. And in the state of Colorado, you have to foster for 6 months before adoption can happen, even if that child is looking for that forever home. And so, yes, we do recommend fostering and before adopting.
Well, why don't you give us some of the reasoning behind that?
Well, for several reasons. So you're having a child come into your home that has a lot of trauma, and you need to be able to meet that child where they are. You need to be able to work through, you know, meet with their therapist and work with their team and really help get that child what they need, and make sure that you can work with those behaviors. The children that are coming into your home, even if you're just fostering, that's what they need. They need somebody that is going to meet them where they are, help them work through their trauma, and really not give up on them, even when it gets tough. And so fostering prior to that adoption piece allows us to make sure it's a good fit. There's a lot that goes into matching, but we really need to be confident that it's a good fit.
Mm-hmm. And so in keeping with that, how do you support the foster families and adoptive families once certified? I mean, is there ongoing counseling services for families, trainings that they can participate in?
Oh, absolutely. Having been licensed or having been started by foster parents, supporting foster families and the kids in their home is what we're here to do. We have an educational director that's attending 504 meetings and IEP meetings at schools and helping set up tutoring and offering those supports. We have a therapy clinic that provides therapy to the kids that are in the foster homes as well as to the foster parents and adoptive parents, right? Because they are going to go through trauma themselves. They are going to struggle. They are going to have tough times because parenting period is tough. So we have therapists that are on staff that can work with those families. We have a support team that are TBRI practitioners, so that trust-based relational intervention parenting model, and they coach our parents. So if a parent is struggling with a behavior a child's having and they said, like, I tried this, this, and this, they can meet with our practitioners and they can say, hey, why don't we try this? Or why do we think, what's the why behind the behavior? Like, let's look at this. And they can really be there and help them navigate those difficult behaviors. We have family preservation that comes in the home and works with everyone as a unit. We have what's called groundbreakers, and they're for our teenagers, and they're a therapeutic work program that helps our kids learn work skills and build resumes and help prepare for adulthood. The list goes on and on of things that we try to provide for our families and the kids. And that's not just foster kids. We work with our adopted kiddos too.
Sounds like a very worthwhile venture and so necessary, especially when you hear Dr. Lester talking about the numbers that we have in our community. At this point, 44 kids needing foster care placement within El Paso County, and some of those probably adoptive families as part of the mix. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Lester and Sarah Bailey more about National Adoption Month, why it's important to get involved if you feel that calling to have a child, have a place where they can heal, where they can grow, where they can reach new heights and maybe find that stable place that they've been craving. That and more when The Extra continues. We're back with The Extra. Today, we are focusing on National Adoption Month. Dr. Jason Lester, who spoke with us earlier, he's Deputy Director of Children, Youth, and Family Services in the El Paso County Department of Human Services. And Jason, we're going to wrap up our last segment talking more to you. What do you tell individuals who are interested in adoption?
Well, you know, after hearing this segment, I'm going to tell them to call Sarah. or people like Sarah, but also more importantly, you know, what I'm going to say is that individuals must, you know, do their personal research. And, you know, I just want to encourage your listeners to create a supportive network of friends and family that are also excited about the adoption process, you know, and then, you know, from there, you know, we have to have conversations with ourselves. So, you know, let's do a self-assessment, you know, and figure out, you know, what is it that I'm going to bring to the table? You know, everyone brings something, you know, what makes you unique? And then, you know, realistically assess, you know, the family situation, you know, what would it look like to have, you know, this child or this teenager come into the home? And then, you know, I would tell folks to, you know, be willing to advocate for your family, be willing to advocate for that child's needs, be willing to advocate for that youth's needs, because advocacy is something that is necessary. And, you know, the other thing I would tell them is, you know, please be flexible, be patient, be nurturing, be compassionate, you know, be empathetic, but most importantly, be accepting.
What are some of the myths, do you think, Dr. Lester, behind foster care and adopting children out of the foster care system?
Well, you know, there are a few myths out there. And, you know, I guess I think the first myth that I want to point out is that, you know, sometimes we, as people, we doubt our own abilities when it comes to being a foster or adoptive parent. And, you know, I just want to encourage your listeners that, you know, to get rid of that self-doubt. And don't create myths about your abilities. The second thing that I would say is that, you know, some will say, you know, the support goes away after the adoption happens. And that can be anything further from the truth. We purposely connect adoptive families with other adoptive families, with other great therapeutic partners within the community. And, you know, again, Raise the Future, you know, is one of those. And then, you know, I guess the last myth that, you know, is probably more common, I imagine a lot of us have heard of it, is that, you know, adoptive families do it for the money. Here in El Paso County, a unique tidbit about El Paso County is that, you know, many of our families choose to adopt, and then they waive the adoption reimbursement because they're just there because they want to create permanency for a child. So, you know, people aren't becoming millionaires because they adopt children. They're really just doing it because it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, and it is critical to do, right? Why is it critical for our community to step up?
Well, you know, like I said, every child deserves a loving and safe and supportive space. In El Paso County, and I mean this, we have a phenomenal community of people from all backgrounds with rich life experience. This life experience can be imparted into a child or a youth. And, you know, ultimately, with regard to adoption, you know, we continue the great legacy of, you know, people being able to pursue their dreams and go on and just be great contributors of society. And, you know, how the baseline of it is that they have someone in their corner that is just going to be with them. You know, again, every child deserves that loving, safe space, and El Paso County is full of loving and supportive people.
Right. In our final couple of minutes here, Dr. Lester, do you want to just share with us what you hope our listeners take away from this hour-long conversation on National Adoption Month?
Well, you know, again, happy National Adoption Month. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I just didn't say that it was an honor participating in this interview with Sarah. She brought a lot of great points with her segment. And, you know, I just want your listeners to recognize that right now in El Paso County, we have, you know, children that, you know, are looking for a place to celebrate their birthdays, looking for a place to enjoy holidays, looking for a place that they can call home. And, you know, if you have it in your heart, you know, please reach out. I think you can reach out to Sarah, or you can even reach out to elpasoco.com, because we have the children there, and you can see them. You can view their phenomenal profiles and see some of the things that they're interested in. And what you'll find is that they're very common to, you know, every kid that's in our community. You know, essentially, I hope that with this segment, and thank you again for putting it on, I hope that all of the children waiting to be adopted in El Paso County, I hope that we have 44 listeners that or families that will step up and adopt these children waiting for permanency.
Now, let's not forget that the need is there. No matter what happens in, you know, the halls of Congress or in the elections next month, unfortunately, we still have kids that need to find those forever homes. And right here in El Paso County, as well as throughout the state. And Dr. Lester, thank you for sharing your message, urging folks to consider opening their hearts and homes to being a foster or adoptive family. And Sarah Bailey with Kids Crossing, again, their website, kidscrossing.com, also a great resource. Sarah, what would you like our listeners to take away from this hour-long conversation?
That if you have any questions at all, or if you've ever thought about, you know, I would love to foster, or I'd love to adopt, to reach out. It is a huge decision, and we know that, but we would love to start that conversation with you and answer any questions that you have. So don't ever hesitate to make a phone call or look at the website.
Right. It may be as easy as just maybe attending an introductory seminar or talking with another foster family who can maybe talk to you about their journey. I mean, that might get people incentivized, and also maybe seeing less about what might be in their heads obstacles, and instead opening their hearts to the joys and wonders of being in this situation with a child or children who ended up in their situation through no fault of their own and just need that stability, that forever home. Well, our guest today, Sarah Bailey with Kids Crossing, again, their website, kidscrossing.com, and Dr. Jason Lester with the El Paso County Department of Human Services. He's Deputy Director of Children, Youth, and Family Services. To both my guests today, thank you so much for joining us on The Extra.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to KRDO News Radio here on KRDO News Radio and The Extra. We hope you join us again tomorrow right here at 9 a.m.